this new research was published a few weeks ago, but I'm interested in, historically, the sort of the body of evidence before this study, how much evidence was there that these things like patches and gums are really effective to help you quit smoking?
Well, patches and gums have been available since the 1980s, and in the years between, we've also had prescribed medications, one brand name Zyban, and another one with a brand name Champix. And those three areas of drugs have been really the mainstay of a lot of the narrative that's been put to smokers about how they can best quit smoking.
And so this new study from the US, was quite large, and it uses what was called a cohort study. So I'm interested in, there seems to be a bit of, dispute about the correct or best methodology to use to actually test these hypotheses. So what is the significance of this cohort study, and how does it compare to previous examples?
Okay, well, the study that's been published, it looked at two periods, a couple of years in the early period of the 2000s, and then another period, I think it was 2010-2011. And as you say, they had a large number of people in it, and they followed those people up for 12 months, and they asked the people in it who were smokers if they'd been trying to quit and how many of them had been able to quit. And basically the take-home finding was that people who had used a drug, either nicotine replacement therapy or Champix or Zyban, had no better chance of quitting past 30 days than people who were trying to quit without using drugs. So this is a pretty important finding. And it's what we call a real-world study. I mean, the people who are involved in this study are not people who have enrolled in a trial or an experiment, you know, to try and quit smoking. They're not people who have been recruited through their doctors or who have approached a health service, you know, wanting to quit. They're just people who have been selected at random in the community, in a community surveying sort of way. Now, a lot of the other studies which have been, the bedrock of claims that drugs can greatly enhance your chances of quitting are what we call randomized control trials. And this is where you get a bunch of people who are smokers, and you randomize them into some to receive a drug. It might be nicotine replacement therapy or one of the others. And the other will typically receive a placebo or a dummy, gum or patch or drug. And those studies collectively have shown that, yes, these drugs do help people. So the really interesting question is, well, why is there a difference between the real-world study and these randomized controlled trial results? And the main reason for that is that randomized controlled trials are conducted in a very artificial sort of way. I mean, for a start, people with mental health problems or who don't have very good English or no fixed address or no telephone, you know, are typically excluded. And so that's cutting out a lot of people who are often at high risk from smoking. People are often paid or incentivized in some way to stay in a trial because they want people to go right through to the end of it rather than drop out. Well, that doesn't happen in the real world either. People buy their product at the pharmacist or the supermarket, and no one's sort of breathing down their neck on the telephone to sort of remind them and coach them and, you know, to stay on in the trial. And the other thing is, if you're allocated to receive a nicotine patch or the placebo, well, if you get the placebo in a randomized controlled trial and you've been an addicted smoker, you know pretty much straight away that you've been put in the placebo thing because your brain's saying, hey, I'm not getting any nicotine out of this.
So it seems as though the methodology, choosing the correct methodology, is very crucial in getting sort of, valid results.
Yeah, I mean, they're both equally valid, but from a policy perspective, you know, we have to say, well, What's the result which actually most closely resembles what really happens when people take these drugs, you know, in their daily life? rather than in their daily life with a research team of very eager PhD students often, you know, ringing you up or sending you reminders or text messages or asking you to come in for, you know, various questionnaires to be filled in and things like that. All of that stuff creates what researchers sometimes call Hawthorne effects, which are effects which are attributed to the fact that you've had a lot of attention paid to you as a research subject, and you know sometimes develop a relationship with a researcher. Oh, isn't that a lovely guy who rings me up every week and you know asks me how I'm going and asks me questions about my progress and things like that? Well, you know, that, as I say, doesn't happen in the real world.
You mentioned previously that these kind of therapies have been available since perhaps the 1980s. And so the kind of campaigns that these companies are using to sell their products are sort of saying that you need to have these products. Like, you can't really quit smoking off your own bat. You need to have these patches or gums. Otherwise, you're really doing yourself a disservice. Do you think
that's right.
Is that perhaps a distorted message?
Well, it's an understandable message coming from a commercial motivated, companies. They're wanting, you know, to get your attention and to convince you you should shell out money and get involved with their products. But, you know, we've got to stand back from that and think, well, yes, that's just normal commercial behaviour, persuasive behaviour. What we do know is if you get 100 people who used to smoke and no longer do, and you say to them, well, how did you stop smoking? The far and away the most common method that people do use to quit smoking is to go cold turkey. That's followed by people who use drugs, and then way, way, way down at the bottom of the list are sort of more exotic things like hypnotherapy and acupuncture and that sort of stuff.
Well, Professor Chapman, thank you so much for coming on and telling us about this recent study.
Yeah, great pleasure. Thanks very much.